Shalom Aleichem, Kinderlech. Here's a story of the Maharal, the way it's told by the previous Rebbe in Sefer HaZichronos in his memoirs. The Maharal was born in the year Reish Ayin Beis. So today is Tovshin Pei Dalet. That's over 500 years ago. The Maharal, in a very young age, was already known as a great Talmud Chochem. Great Goyim of the time would come to Poznan, where the Maharal lived in his, with his family, and they would learn, talk to him in learning. They would love to talk to him in learning because he was so impressive. He had three more brothers, and his father's name was Rabbi Tzalel, was also a big Goyim. But Rabbi Tzalel was very poor. He couldn't support his sons going to yeshivas and learning. Didn't have any money. So he decided to marry his children very young. That means he would get them engaged to become a chassan. And then they would go off on learning for 5, 6, 10 years till the wedding. In the meantime, who is going to support them? Their future father-in-law, right? The father of the kala. This way he wouldn't have to support them because he didn't have any money. So Maharal got engaged, became a chassan at 12 years old before his bar mitzvah. Who did he get engaged to? To Perel. Perel was the daughter of Reb Shmuel Reich, a very rich man in Prague, who was very close to the king of Prussia. He was very wealthy. He helped a lot of Jews. Whenever there was a decree of the government against the Jews, he would go to the palace of the king and talk to the king to try to abolish the decree. He was very influential. He was a very important man, and he had a lot of money. And he, of course, wanted to have the Maharal as a son-in-law, and he was willing to support him for many years to learn before the wedding. The wedding wasn't going to be till years later. They were still very young. So the Maharal went to yeshiva, and his father-in-law supported him. He studied with the greatest Rosh Yeshivas in Goenim and in the best yeshivas and became a huge, huge Goan, Talmud Chacham. Perel was only 6 when she got engaged, but she was very, very smart. And she understood and she heard that her chassan is a big Talmud Chacham and a big Goan. So she didn't want to feel like she doesn't know anything. She wanted to be able to talk to him in what he learns. She very much wanted to be able to discuss his learning. So they decided she also has to learn. And in those days, girls didn't learn so much. They learned how to read, maybe. But she taught herself secretly. She didn't want anybody to know because in those days it wasn't allowed for girls to learn so much. So she would learn secretly Chumash and Tanakh. She taught herself Rashi. Then she started learning Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, and even Gemara, and Mishnah and Gemara. She became very learned. Now, by the time the Maharal came back 4 or 5 years later from yeshiva, from Krakow, she was, maybe it was 6 years later, she was 12. He was already 18. He told his father-in-law that he's not ready to get married. She's still 12. She's very young. So he wants to wait a few years and go to yeshiva back to learn. But while he was in Prague, he met the kala and they talked. And she told him that for the last 6 years, she was learning Torah and she was very excited to learn. And he told her, you know what, this is very nice. I like that. He was very happy that she was learning. And he even showed her how she should continue to learn. He told her what svarim to take and how she should learn. He gave her a whole way of learning and told her which svarim to buy and how she should learn. And he was very, very happy that she's learning. He went off to yeshiva again. And after 4 years of learning with the Marshal and the Ramo, these were his chavrusas. They were a little bit younger than the Maharal, but the Reb Shlomo Luria, the Marshal, famous Goan, and the Ramo was a big Goan Olam. His father was a very rich. Reb Isserles was a very wealthy, and he built a shul in Krakow, especially for his son, Moshe, who became the Ramo. And the Maharal and Reb Shlomo Luria learned in that Beis Medrash, and the father of the Ramo supported them. You know, for a few more years, Then he realized he's not ready to get married. He wants to learn a few more years. He has such great chavrusas he can learn with, and he's got such great rosh yeshivas. So he wrote a letter to his father-in-law and said, listen, I'm sorry to say that I can't come back yet to get married. I want to take another 3 years and learn. If you really don't want to, then it's okay with me if Peril wants to cut off the shidduch and get married to someone else. And I won't be upset. I understand. But the father said, no. You can go. You can sit and learn. Learn another 3 years. In the meantime, Reb Shmuel Reich, something happened to him. He lost all his money. He had a lot of debts, and he had to sell all his houses and pay off his debts. He was left with nothing. He wrote a letter quickly to the Maharal, who was in yeshiva, to tell him that the news, the terrible news, that he had no money left, and he can't support him in yeshiva anymore. And now he wrote to him, he said, listen, I'm sorry, but if you feel like you want to marry someone else and cut off the shidduch with my daughter, it's okay, I understand, because I can't support you anymore. You want to go marry a girl who's from a rich family? I understand, but I can't support you anymore. The Maharal wrote back a lot and saying, no, chas v'shalom, I want to marry Peril, even if you're poor, it doesn't matter if you have money or not. And he told his father-in-law to have bitachon in Hashem, that everything will be good, and he gave him encouragement, and he learned for another 3 years. Then he came back to Prague, and they got married. Maharal and Peril got married. By the time the Maharal and Peril got married, the Maharal was already 32 years old. It took a long time because he was in yeshivas and there was a war in between. He couldn't get back home. And Peril, by that time, was already quite learned. And she would continue to learn after they got married. She would learn with her husband, the Maharal, which was very unusual in those days. And she had a store because she realized her father doesn't have any money. Father didn't have any income, any parnassa, so she opened a store, a grocery store, where she sold food. And from that store, she was able to bring money for her husband, who was sitting and learning, and for her parents, too. She supported her parents, she supported the Maharal. One day, there was a war going on, as I said before, between Bohemia and other countries, and the battlefield was right outside Prague. One day, she's sitting in a store, and a soldier comes running in. You could tell that he came straight from the battlefield. And he says to Peril, I need as much food as you have, because we need to take it quickly to the battlefield. Just pack up all the food, all the bread and milk and cheese and fruits and vegetables. Whatever you have, just pack it up and give me, I have your bags, and we'll buy everything off. Peril packs up everything, the entire store, all the food, puts it in the bags, and then she hands the soldier a bill. She says, listen, you got to pay for this. He says, I'm sorry, I don't have any money with me, but I promise you I'll be back in a few days, and I'll pay you the bill. She says, well, listen, we don't have any money. You took all my food. If you don't pay me now, my family and I are going to starve. So the soldier said to her, listen, I have a jacket in my bag, a jacket. It's a very special jacket for me, and I'll leave it with you. And he gives her the jacket, and he says, I promise you in 2 days I'll be back, and I'll come and take my jacket. And then you know that I'm coming back, because this will be a grand guarantee that you have my jacket. She had no choice, and he took all the bags of food and left. A few days went by, and the soldier never came back. A week, 2 weeks, she told her husband, the Maharal, what had happened. There's no store, there's no food in the store anymore. The soldier took everything, and he promised to come back and pay, but he didn't. He just left her a jacket. So Maharal said to her, listen, this is Min HaShemayim, we have to check. In those days, the officers of the army, when they went to war, they would go into the enemy's country and go into the houses of people, and they would take all the silver and gold and diamonds and jewelry, they would steal it. So often what they would do is the diamonds they would steal, they didn't want to lose it, and they didn't want anybody to see where they're hiding it. They would sew it into their jackets. It's possible that this jacket has a lot of diamonds in it. Who knows? Let's open up the seam and open up the jacket and see inside if there is, inside the lining, there's some diamonds. So Peril did that, and lo and behold, Maharal was right. tons and tons of diamonds came falling out. So many very, very, very expensive stones. They could become very rich from that. They waited a little longer, and the soldiers still didn't come back. They realized, Min HaShemayim descend them like a malach. So, like a soldier who just gave them a wealth of money, and they became rich again. She gave her father some money, and he started a business again and became very, very rich. Not only that, after the war ended, the government made a contract with Reb Shmuel Reich that he should be in charge of building all the houses that they destroyed during the war, and he will get a lot of money paid for building the houses. And he became extremely wealthy, and he became very close to the king, King Ferdinand, and he then supported the Pearl and the Maral. Pearl didn't have to have a store anymore. She helped her husband with his learning. She helped him publish his Svarim, 24 Svarim the Maral wrote. She helped organize the Svarim, the pages, and bring it to printing. She even corrected the Maral in 8 places where he cited what the Gemara says. And she said, no, the Gemara doesn't say it that way. The Gemara says it differently. And the Maral said, you're right. And he corrected it. 8 places she corrected her husband's writings. And whenever the Shilas came from people from all over the country, all over Europe, people would ask Shilas about the Maral in learning in Torah, in Gemara, in Chumash. She would read the Shilas to her husband, and he would give answers, and she would write it down because she understood what the Shilas were about. She understood what the answers was. She was very learned. And so the Maral and his wife, they had children. They had one son and several daughters. The son was Rebbe Tzalel. And the Alter Rebbe was a 5th generation from the Maral, Ben Acha Ben. That's the story.